Blog Talk Radio.
Our eyes can only see so much. But what if they could see more? What if you could see the world in a more interesting way? You could finally work with horses. You love horses. Or what if rather than using your mind's eye, you could see things with your eye's mind? Things like, I don't know, a virtual wardrobe. Ooh, I like the yellow. You could make imaginary friends real, or see your real friends in a more imaginary way. Because when you start to see the things you love in a whole new way, you start to want to share them with the world.
With me?
Well, maybe not the whole world.
Oh, right, okay.
And weirdly enough, that helps us all see ourselves and each other just a little more clearly. The floor is being.
This is Dr. Chinchilla Donesia, the commissioner of WBNN. The those of you that have been having trouble tuning into WBNN's programming due to phone service provider issues with Metro, T-Mobile, or Cricket, I have a solution for you. Go to the Google Play Store or the Apple Play Store, download the Text Now app onto your cell phone, choose a phone number, and then you will be able to tune into all of WBNN's programming. I am the Honorable Dr. Chinchilla J.
Someone new and
This is a product of WBNN. This is Trenton Makes Show. I'm your host, Ricardo Rashad, on air now from Lagos, Nigeria. Dial in 516-453-9133. Press 1 to join the conversation, brought to you by Ngozi Time Multimedia. I'm, again, excited, you guys. I'm excited. This is my second show in the same month, so it's amazing. It's Monday. I hope everybody's having a great start of a new week. You get what I mean? Every show, I like to dedicate my show to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God is not just my Savior because I just want him to get me out of trouble. He's actually my Lord as well. He governs my life, and he's just everything to me. So every show I dedicate to him, and I also let anybody know out there, no matter what you're going through, that Jesus is the answer, and he's available to you. He died for us, and he loves us, and he wants a relationship with you. Each and every one of us has a purpose. We have a gift, and we have a plan for our lives. We have our plan, and God has his plan, and he wants to get to know you. So get to know God, you get what I mean, while you still have breath in your body. I can't do my show without doing that because I just feel like as a believer, it's my responsibility to spread the message, the gospel, the truth, you know, and so I have to do that, you know, before anything. But I want to, again, say happy Monday. For those that know me or don't know me or just listening for the first time, I would love for you guys to check out my web series. It's called Hurt People, Bitter and Broken, the series. You guys can check us out on YouTube. Bitter and Broken web series, just a subtitle. You can also check me out on Facebook, Hurt People, Bitter and Broken, the series. Also check me out on Instagram, Hurt People series. Our final season 3, which is the movie, comes out May the 12th. So be on the lookout. I'm so very excited. And, yes, I'm really excited. And I want to introduce you guys to a generational curse breaker. My Aunt Paula, you know, we had her on the first show at the beginning of the year, and now we have a part 2 of Generational Curse Breaker. So welcome, my Paula.
Thank you for having me. I thank God for being here. I thank God for you. You're such a blessing, and I thank God for the opportunity to be able to share with everyone.
Yes, you know what? I think this is amazing because, you know, we just got a chance to talk a little bit briefly, but I haven't actually talked to you in so long, so this is going to be definitely organic and just a great feel, so I'm really, really excited to talk to you. I think I've said this before, you know, like, I'm so grateful and so blessed to know you, and you're so genuine, and I'm just really grateful that you're my aunt. Like, I realized that in this life, like, we, you know, you could be related to anybody, but God knew, like, that I needed you in my life. You get what I mean? So I'm really grateful for you. So I just want to thank you, you know, always giving your roses. You're a class act, always so poised and graceful and just an amazing woman of God. So I just wanted to give you that flower.
Well, I thank you very much. To God be the glory. And also, you are that for me. You are definitely, it's definitely iron sharpening iron. Because you are a blessing. I'm grateful to have access to you.
Oh, thank you. And I think it's important, especially I feel like in this day and time, before we get into the generational curse breaker, I feel like it's important for people to tell people while we have time. I actually just had one of my coworkers, her nephew, went to Miami. And with his dad, the dad was celebrating in Miami, took his son on a jet ski, and he was on a jet ski, hit the boat, and the boy went into a coma. So now they declared him brain dead. So I don't know what's really going on now, but it just showed. I seen little stuff on social media about a little kid passing away, but I didn't know if that was the same situation. But what it taught me was just how quick life is gone, just that quick. You know, and this is a little kid. You get what I mean?
Yeah.
So prior like to that, say it again.
Was he like third grade?
I'm not really sure how old he is. I'm gonna definitely check with my co-teacher tomorrow. But I know that he's a kid. So I know the dad is just hurting. But I still have to say, you guys, that life is so very short. And when you have the opportunity, and I always talk about forgiveness because I feel like a part of forgiveness is also being a generational curse breaker, too, because it's like you have to forgive people that wronged you. You get what I mean? And you just never know, like, what's going to happen in this life. And if the pandemic hasn't taught you, if losing people haven't taught you in these last 3 years, just how things could happen in a blink of an eye, then I don't know what it's going to take. But it's time for us to forgive. It's time for us to heal. It's time for us, even in forgiving, I always say this, it doesn't mean, I was telling my sister the other day, I forgive everybody. It doesn't mean people have the same access to you. You get what I mean? But you can forgive people wholeheartedly and not have a grudge. You know, like I remember being younger and like not wanting to deal with certain people. And my whole energy was off as soon as they walked in the room. And I literally became the very thing that I was despising because that's not who I am. You get what I mean? Like, yeah. I don't allow nobody to affect my energy like that. So I became the very thing that I didn't like. So I think it's so important to forgive people, even if you decide, you know what, you're not going to still have the same access, but forgiveness is something that we all should do. All right? So I looked up, what is a generational curse breaker? So I was able to find this on madeofsteelibelieve.com, and it says, what is a generational curse, right? A generational curse is a curse that is passed down from one generation to the next. It can be caused by sin or disobedience. Facts. There are chains of sin that we can inherit from our parents and our grandparents. These chains can bind us, birth, keep us from living the life God has for us. And in Exodus 24-6 says, you shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. I thought that was so beautiful because there's some things in my genealogy where I was just like, and this is why I tell people, like, I come from like a line of addiction. You get what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's just certain stuff that I just don't play with because I almost got tripped up a couple of years ago when I started trying alcohol. And the next thing you know, I'm sitting up here driving under the influence. I know I'm good. You get what I mean? So yeah. Now it's like I don't think that I'm better because I don't drink or I don't party or I don't smoke. I don't think that I'm better at all. I feel like at the end of the day, it's like who I am and where I'm going. I know who I am now.
Absolutely.
And who I was before, I was being a carbon copy. I wasn't being my authentic self. I was a hurt version of myself. You get what I mean? Now I'm a better version of myself. So it's now certain things, as being a generational curse breaker, it's certain things that I just don't entertain anymore because I realize that some things doesn't have anything to do with me. It has everything to do with where I come from in my history. So it's already saying, even in the word in Exodus, like how God punished generations of people because of the parent or the grandparent. Like, that's deep. But the one that loves him and keep his commandments, he'll bless a thousand generations. I look at somebody like Abram that wound up turning into Abraham. Look how he was faithful to God, and God was able to bless generations. But then the person who was wound up disobedient to God, he'll curse generations of people. So you wondering why, like, you struggling with lust or, you know, addiction and all these different things, and you don't even realize that it is in your genealogy, but we never take the time. And that's why my mom used to always tell me, or I used to hear her say, be careful who you have kids with.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? Because you don't know what's in that blood. You don't know if it's mental illness. You don't know if it's distant. Like, you just don't know. So you have to be mindful. So me realizing my family history of addiction, it's just like, I was just like, dang, I was almost out there. You get what I mean? I was almost out there. And it's important to know, like, anybody out there that's listening, you could have been an alcoholic, you could have been a drug dealer, a drug abuser, a gangbanger, you could have been raped, you could have been molested, you know, you could have dropped out of high school. You could wake up tomorrow and decide, guess what, I want to be better. I want to be a generational curse breaker because at the end of the day, as long as you have breath in your body, it's always possible. You get what I mean? We get so bent up on yesterday. And there's nothing. We'll never have those 24 hours again. You get what I mean? Yes, yes. I'll never have, what was yesterday? January the 29th. We'll never have joined January 29th, 2023 ever again. But if God blesses us, we'll have a new day. So I want people listening to this generational curse breaker. I want generational curse breaker part two is to understand that you can be a generational curse breaker. You get what I mean? Like, you can decide that, guess what? I'm going to do better regardless if my mom wasn't there, regardless if my father wasn't there, regardless of my circumstances or my environment or wherever I come from, you can still be a generational curse breaker. So track next by International Internet DJ Legend, Brother O.
Here we go. What I gotta do for you to see the pain you felt before wasn't done by me. Why must I prove every day my love for you just so you don't walk away? But I gotta check it out. Every time I see you, I think we're seeing equal. But then I notice that you here, bring it back. I'm running with people that could be somewhat lethal. What you and I define. But baby girl, you know that we define something real.
Yeah, you know we do.
There is no one else that should affect how we feel.
Yeah, you know it's true.
Hopefully you will allow my heart to unveil
dishonesty
to see such favor in me, girl.
What I gotta do for you to see the pain you felt before wasn't done by me. Why must I prove every day my love for you just so you
so you know that we define something real.
Come on, yeah, you know we do.
Yeah, there is no one else that should define how we feel.
Yeah, you know it's true.
Hopefully you will allow me to unveil
dishonesty.
we are back. So listen, you guys, the title was Generational Curse Breaker. So I also wanted to add on to what I was saying was, so recently, maybe a couple of weeks ago or a month ago, I was actually reading the chapter Habakkuk 2:23, and I just want to read a little bit. It says, "Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets." But some people coming into this new year, maybe you need to write the vision down. You know, me and my friends were supposed to get together. You know, you get these revolutions, and we're going to do this and we're going to do that, and then things fall through. We're supposed to have a vision board party, you know, like basically not a party, but just basically we get together, we have our vision boards and just write down the vision of where we see our year. So I just wanted to encourage anybody out there, write the vision down, make it plain. So I wanted to know, was there a certain age, Paula, that you realized, like, I'm a generational curse breaker? Maybe you didn't know that that's what you were being, the term. But when did you know, like, yo, I'm different. Like, I care about people. Like, when was it that you knew, like, okay, I'm different from my family?
I knew almost immediately. And the reason why I knew is because everyone drank. And I knew that when they drank, they were different. Their behaviors were different. And I didn't want to act like that. So I knew drinking wasn't going to be something that I wanted to do.
Right.
I knew immediately when I didn't do it and everybody else was doing it, I knew, okay, wait a minute. I'm not like them. Why?
Right.
So I knew something was different immediately. You know, children have a sense. They may not know what it is, but they will know that something's wrong. They, and that's why sometimes, even with parents with favoritism, like if a parent shows more, they know that when they're young.
Yeah.
They'll say, you know, when I was younger, you know, my mom always did that. She always chose Michael, or she always chose Brenda, and she didn't choose me. It's something that I do early on. You know, something's wrong.
That's amazing. You know what I was just thinking when we go back to generational curse breaker, because there's so many things that could spawn off of that, so many subtopics. And I was literally thinking about something that I do every morning, right? And I do this for my kids. We'd be like, I am a leader. I am not a father, because I'm trying to teach them. See, what I realize is being a teacher, that not only do I got to educate the children, sometimes I have to educate the parents, because the parents are young. So you have kids raising kids, and I'm like, yo, I didn't think I signed it up to be nobody's dad. You get what I'm saying? Because I'm not a father. But what I realized is, like, teaching these children, and, you know, I give them the tools that I wish somebody would have gave me, right? Yes. I'm very cognizant that a lot of these kids don't have fathers. You know, especially black fathers. And I'm realizing as I go on, and RIP to the young man who just lost his life, because that could have been me.
Right.
I've realized that black men are extinct, and black fathers are extinct. And when you have a black father stepping up and actually being supportive, not just there or just coming around every now and then, but really present.
Yes.
I was just telling you, I had an opportunity to have a great father. Did my father make mistakes? Absolutely. But through it all, flaws and all, I had a great father.
Mm-hmm.
So I realized that it's so important to have the father in the home, especially a black father, not taken away from any other races, because all those are important. I'm just talking about maybe our experience, you know, as black people.
Yes.
It's important. And for me, you know, these kids every morning, I'm like, you know, say it. I'm a leader. I'm not a follower. And then I also tell them, we do I love my hair. I love my skin. And I say that to them because as a dark-skinned male, you know, when I was a kid, I hated that I was dark-skinned. I hated that people in my family were lighter skin or they were lighter brown skin. Both of my parents are light brown skin. They're way definitely lighter than I am.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember times when people were like, your parents are so light, and like, how are you so black? And I used to be like, I don't know. But it bothered me, you know, as a kid. And I just told my dad this recently. I used to be in the bathroom as a kid with my rag and literally trying to, like, brush the dark off of me, like, clean the dark skin off of me, like, you know. And I thought as a kid that I could wash the dark skin away because it was, like, frowned upon. You get what I'm saying? And I was called ugly. And I remember this one defining moment. I might talk about it, and then we're going to go to our caller. My cousin, who was light-skinned at the time, fair-skinned, you know, light-skinned, curly hair. I remember he was in the sixth grade. Caller, I'm going to get to you. Just let me just explain this story real quick. We was in the sixth grade. Me and my cousin, I think we got into it. We was in the hallway. And my cousin was just like, yo, ain't Richard ugly? And then the girls was walking by. One of the girls was like, yeah. And then another girl was like, And then another girl was like, yeah. And that was the first moment where I was like, wow, I'm black and ugly. And that took me, you know, into my life. You know, I didn't even realize it until the sixth grade where I was like, wow, I'm ugly, you know. I was always called black, so I already thought that was a thing. So now I was like, oh, I'm black and ugly. And a lot of my cousins who was light-skinned or my aunt, she's mixed. So my uncle's side, his kids are all light-skinned, one of his kids or whatever, God rest his soul, BB, my cousin that passed away a couple of years ago, he was light-skinned with, like, gray eyes. So a lot of my cousins was, like, fair-skinned, so they always got the girls. So it just made me really inferior, you know? So that's why I love that I, teach my kids, be the generational curse breaker, love your skin, love who you are, and that you can be anything you want to be. So, caller one, who are you and where are you calling from?
Caller, are you there? Okay, we'll come back to that caller. We'll go to the next caller. Caller number two, you're live right now. Ricardo Rashard, yo. And Trenton Makes.
Hello?
All right, caller, step up now. Okay, they bet caller. We'll go to call number three. You're live right now with Ricardo Rashard and Trenton Makes.
Oh, my gosh, I am here. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Ricardo. It's Ava Holly. How are you?
Hi.
How you doing tonight? I love your topic. I love your guest. And, you know, I love you. But I got a couple things to share with you. Maybe not so much on the general curse breaker, but just about some things that you said. First of all, my daughter's father, which is not my husband now, is Jamaican, Chinese, and Irish. And so our family is Jewish and Italian. So my mother used to call my daughter the League of Nations. Yet his family ranged from very light skin to very dark skin. Yet what I wanted to bring up was that when we separated, he went off to another country, married someone else, had two children with her, and then they're not together anymore either. And I was thinking about it the other day because my daughter – it's a long story how I found out about this, but my daughter befriended the new ex-wife and the two kids. And she was like, oh, I have these half brother and sister and blah, blah, blah. And they were so adorable. Well, just yesterday, we found out that the mom passed away. And she is probably a little bit younger than me. We don't actually know all the details yet. But about a week ago, I was thinking, you know, it's so funny how you talk about how short life is. You know, I've just been through some major surgery. And I was thinking, you know, if we didn't go what we went through, those kids wouldn't be here today. I was thinking about that a week ago. And then my daughter calls me yesterday and tells me about the mom passing away. We're still like in shock. So, you know, talking about like, I don't know what's going to happen with the kids because my ex is also her ex. I mean, I know she has a boyfriend. I'm hoping the kids are going to be with the boyfriend, but they're not married, so who knows what the heck is going to happen to the kids. So I'm hoping to find out some information soon. But the other thing is I love the ritual you do with your family in the morning. You have to love yourself before you can love anybody else, you know? And so I have a vision board. I love vision boarding. I love talking about it. And, you know, as things progressed in my life, the vision board got old. So it was really large. So I moved it on the floor into a space out of the way where I could create a new one yet still have that one nearby for like a fallback, or until I got my new one where I wanted to, I would get rid of that one. I just couldn't see myself getting rid of it. The funny thing is that every so often, like every couple weeks, I'll walk by it and one of the things I have on it falls on the floor. And I'm always curious to see what falls on the floor that day. So last week, what fell on the floor was your business needs to succeed. And I thought that was pretty crazy because my business, like, you know, pretty much shut down since the pandemic, although we're working on some new things. And, of course, I went through this major surgery. So everything's kind of up in the air right now. I feel like I'm juggling 50 balls. But, you know, I saw that and I was like, oh, my gosh, like it's still alive in me. It's still there. It's still something I need to work on. So we need to progress in our lives, in our business, in our future, in our children, in our families. We need to do that every day. And like you said, when you have a breath, you need to move forward because you never know when that breath's going to be taken away, you know?
Yeah. And my condolences to your daughter and wow, just the whole situation. And
thank you.
Yeah,
I mean, if I could do it, I'd bring those kids right here in a heartbeat. You know, they're pretty young. And, you know, hopefully I'll find out soon what's going on. But it just made me think about it when you were talking. So God bless you. You're doing great. Love your show. And talk to you again soon.
Thank you so much.
God bless you with your surgery.
Wow. Okay, we have another caller. Caller 4, who are you and where are you calling from?
Hey, my love, it's Jerry Petito, New Jersey.
New Jersey in the building, woo-woo!
Your hometown, yeah, honey.
Yeah, I love New Jersey. How you doing?
I'm doing great, sweetie. Why don't you, I know it's generational curses, ask me a question. Let's start there.
Okay, so my question for you is, when did you know, like, enough was enough? Like when was your rock bottom and you knew in your life that is like, okay, I got to be this generational curse breaker. Like, I have to, I got to be a better version of myself. Because I know everybody rock bottom is different. But when did you hit rock bottom and, like, how did you get yourself out of whatever that was?
Okay, perfect question. So I've talked about this before on shows. My dad's family, incredible, amazing, hardworking Italians from Italy. My mother's family, on the other hand, were all criminals pretty much. In and out of jail, I mean it, like murderers, rapists, not my mother's, like, her distant relatives, I should say. A lot of crime in the family and, you know, the mob and everything, okay? And that just went down generation to generation to generation to generation. I kid you not, all the way down. They also had sickness. Every one of them, including my mom, never made even 70. Most never made 60. My mother's mom died at, like, 24 of breast cancer. They all died of cancers, heart attacks and cancers. Okay. So when I hit rock bottom from my addiction, I made a decision, you know, it was time, right? And I'll never forget this. And I walked into a Christian counselor's office. I met Shirley Henry Lyons at my church. I was 31 years old, and I stopped doing drugs at 30. And I walked in, I made the appointment, she was expecting me, and she said, Jerry, sit down, why are you here? And this is what I said, Ricardo, I do not want to be like my mother and her family, and I need to break the generational curses.
Wow.
That is what I said, and that is the truth. And I worked so hard and did it.
Wow. Beautiful story.
It's true.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Wow. I'm so glad, Jerry, you know, to know you, and I'm so glad that you said that, because there's people out here that are struggling, you know, whether it's addiction or mental health. And a lot of times when people are going through it, they don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. They don't see the rainbow. They don't feel like it's ever going to get better. Some people feel so stuck. You get what I mean? And it's like they're living their lives, like it's like the same day every single day. So I think even the fact that, you know, you came on and talked about how you was able to overcome, you know, your struggles, it's just a beautiful thing, and it gives people hope, too, because I remember, you know, when I was going through my stuff, like, you know, I've been on this show, and thank God, you know, to Brother O and also you, too, but I remember you met me when I still was transitioning from the person that I was becoming into the person where I was still turning up, being around the wrong crowd, doing a lot of the wrong stuff, but my heart was still always where it was. I just was making a lot of bad decisions. So it's like, you got a chance to really see, you know, old me.
Does your guest know about that phone call?
I don't think she know about the phone call, no. She don't know about the phone call. Yeah, you can share it.
All right. So I'm a nutritional health coach, right, a recovery coach, and I get a message on Facebook very late one night. It had to be at least 1 o'clock in the morning, right, Ricardo? From an awesome young drunk kid asking if we could talk because he saw, I guess, you saw my book, my ads, all that kind of stuff, right? And so I forget exactly how it went, but long story short, I gave him my phone number. God said, do it. And we talked, and he was outside of a club, you know, he drank a little too much, and we talked, and he opened up. He felt that he could trust me, and it was a God moment because I also felt like I could trust him and give him my number. And it was just a beautiful God moment. And he's been in my life ever since. He owns a piece of my heart. I love him. He sends me an I love you every morning. I send him a little heart back. And, you know, we've been on each other's shows. He's come live into my studio with Hamilton Radio. And I just love this kid. And he's worked so hard. And I'm so proud of him.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that, too, because, like I said, you just showed me how far I've come and that where I could, I don't have no shame. You know, as far as I've come, because my cousin told me this years ago, you know, she was like, it's not my business, it's God's business. And I share that. I say that a lot because sometimes or whatever, your past can bring you shame, you know. And there's still some things that I'm healing from, but those things, I talk about it because I want people to know that you can be free from all of that. Like, yeah, I was young. I used to turn up. You know what I'm saying? I used to party. I used to do all of that. But you can make a decision that you can change, you know? So it's always
I need to share one more thing. I have to interrupt you because this is important. And I usually don't do that to you. But there's no shame in your past. Do you understand me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, God has already wiped that slate clean. It doesn't exist anymore.
Absolutely.
There's no shame. You know, listen, Paul, the apostle, his name was Saul. He crucified Christians, and what did God do? Okay, he changed his name so that person doesn't exist, right?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
So there's no shame in your past.
No,
there's no shame in mine. Right.
Mm-mm.
So please
no
don't say that ever again. That's right.
Yeah.
Don't say that anymore. Actually say to God, thank you, Lord, because now I know there's no shame in my past. There's not a person listening that hasn't done what you've done,
absolutely,
what I've done, what your guest has done, what anybody, maybe more, maybe a little less, but guess what, honey?
Yeah.
All of it's the same.
All of it's the same.
Okay, what matters, though, is what we do. God makes us go through these things so we can help others. Like Ava was saying, right? I mean, imagine that. So that's our goal in life, is to use our past and thank God for our past so that we now have this future in God to help others.
Because look at the testimony. You're able to tell someone, right. Listen, you can make it. How can you tell them that if you didn't go through anything?
Amen. Wow, thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jerry, so much for that. Definitely appreciate it. Thank you for calling in. What is your show?
God bless you, baby.
I love you, too. All right, so track next by international internet DJ legend, brother.
Raiders.
All right, you guys, and we are back, and we have a caller, number 5. Who are you, and where are you calling from?
Hey, Peace. How you doing, young man of God?
Hello, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Look, you are on fire tonight. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit is definitely moving through you and your special honored guest. If you don't mind, I want to chime in right quick about breaking generational curse. You know, mm-hmm. one of the most misunderstood curses that was ever used in our scripture was Bathsheba, Genesis chapter 9, verse 26. And for so many people was taught, especially people of African descent, was taught that that curse applied to us, that we was cursed black. This is what a lot of the white power structures have used to their advantage and our people's disadvantage. Well, I'm here to break that curse tonight. We have never, ever been curse to being black. Now, many different nations or people was cursed with different ways, but that's one of the greatest lies that's ever been told. So now you also mentioned, you know, our father Abraham, right? And also Habakkuk, which is my Hebraic name, because I was raised as a Nubian Islamic Hebrew. That's my Judaic or Hebraic name, okay? So now I said all that to say this, that the only curse that we ever received was being into a state of ignorance. And that's the only way that we could be put in bondage for over 400 years. That, again, that goes back to Bereshit, to Genesis chapter 15, verse 13 and 14. Now it's time for us to come out of it. And it's definitely great to be able to listen to ones like yourself and your special honored guest, because it's our time and turn again now. So thank you so much for this show. But look, I also got to share some good news with you, okay? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
All right. For the first time in Orne Dynasty history, we celebrate 11 lineal consecutive all-time connection records as we congratulate Ricardo Rashad on your 11th all-time connection record with the historic Darlene Lawrence Championship, honoring our late Hall of Famer.
Wow.
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 That's wonderful.
Wow, yeah. Praise God.
Praise God. And look, one more thing. Look, I'm a host of this great network of WBNN, and I have a show coming up next week, next Thursday at 9:30, and I'll be speaking about a rude awakening. Sleep time is over. Inspired by real and current events and a gunshot to the head. 9:30.
Wow.
Eastern Standard Time, also addressing this latest incident that took place in Memphis, Tennessee. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you so much. Wow. Amazing. Wow. I'm so honored. I'm so grateful. I thank you guys for everybody that's tuning in. I just, you know, as things is happening in life right now, and some days are good, some days, you know, aren't good, and you just make the best out of them. I think I want my legacy to be, for me, anybody that's out there, you know, I was talking to my mom about this, because I feel like as a culture of people, I feel like we have to have those conversations, and even when we don't want to, you know, what do you want your legacy to be, or what do you want, you know, just whatever. You got to talk about that, because it's going to happen. We're going to all pass eventually, you know, unless we call it the rapture. We're going to pass. So the three things that I said, and I'm going to ask you, I said I want people to know me as, one, I wanted people to know that I love God with all of my heart, and that it was nothing that I wouldn't do for God, what I wouldn't do for Jesus. And it didn't mean that I didn't fall short, because I fall short every single day. But that in my heart of hearts, that I love God with every fiber in my being, and I do. The second thing I wanted people to know about me is that I was a giver, and I was a lender and not the borrower. I love to give. It's just I'd rather give like all day than receive. You get what I mean? Like, it's just naturally, it's just in me. I'm just a giver, and I love it. But in my life, I've come across some takers, and it left me wounded. And I realized, and I said this at my last show, Aunt Paula, the thing that God wants to use, the devil wants to destroy.
Absolutely.
So in my lifetime, the devil brought people in my life, and I don't blame those people wholeheartedly, because I accepted certain people and certain behaviors in my life. So I have to be accountable, and I can't blame other people for them being raised a certain way, because I partake in the demise of myself. But what I will say is that the enemy and myself, because I gave the enemy access, not knowing, I allow him to come in and bring people in my life for them to stab me in my back and in my heart. So the very thing that God wanted to use, my heart, the enemy was using people to break my heart and stab me in my heart. And what I realized is that God is so good because God is still restoring me because there's still some healing. But I'm so grateful for everything because there's a scripture in the Bible that says, for we know that all things work together for those that love God. Is it everybody? For those that love God, for those that are called according to his purpose. So that's the heartbreak. That's the, maybe the person in your family that passed away suddenly. You don't understand. That's the rejection from a kid. You know, that's all the things that you go through, you know, and I realized everything that I went through in my life, you know, it led me to this moment right now. And I also wanted to say this too, like, I realized the enemy has been silencing me since the beginning. My dad told me when I came into the world, I didn't cry. I was silent. As a kid, I grew up, I was silent. And you know, you knew me, Aunt Paula. I was silent as a kid. I didn't talk a lot. And yeah, as I got older, so I would have never thought in a million years I would be doing radio. That's how good God is. God calls the unqualified. He makes them qualified so that way his glory could be known here on the earth because he's going to use people. You got people out here looking for a blessing. They're looking for people to do things for them. They're looking for $1 million to come out the sky, and it's never going to happen. But God will use people to come in your life and say, you know what, come live with me so you can save. So people thinking that it's going to be one way, but it's going to come a different way, but you just have to take the time out to really self-reflect and be self-aware to what God is doing. He's not going to come in the way that you think he should come, but he will send people in your life to love you. Guess what? Relationships and stuff didn't work, but I have an aunt that's on the phone with y'all now on the radio who loves me. And a lot of times in my life, and me and Aunt Paula talked about this, I look for love in certain ways. And when I didn't get that from certain people, it left me shattered. It left me wounded on the battlefield. But when I was able to realize that those people didn't need to be in my life, that was only a season that I had allowed myself to think that I mixed seasonal people with lifetime expectations. So I allowed myself to hurt because God was been telling me to let go, but I didn't want to let go. So I was forcing the hand of God, basically saying I know better than he know. I wasn't saying that, but through my actions, when God was telling me to let go of certain people, I wouldn't let go because I felt like I was helping them, but I was wounding me.
Right.
So anybody out there, you know, again, I take it back to being God. In order for me to be a generational Christian, in order for Paula to be a generational Christian, I had to go to God. Because when you get to your lowest of lows, and nobody could help me, not my mother, not my father, and my dad helped me a great deal, but I had to go to my creator. That's you get what I'm saying? I had to get on my knees, and I had to go to him, and I had to cry out. You get what I'm saying? And I went to this tour, and it was life-changing, and it was called the Cry Out Tour. I went to Houston this weekend, and Pastor Keon was there. He just married Shawnee O'Neal, Shaq ex-wife. He was there. Travis Green was there. Michael Todd was there. The hip-hop preacher was there. There were so many great people, and I'm in a room with millionaires and all these different things, and I'm there feeling like, why should I be here? You know, I didn't feel worthy. You get what I'm saying? The truth is, I'm not worthy. Only God makes me worthy. You get what I'm saying? I'm not worthy just based on who I am. But if I am found worthy, it's only because of the goodness of God. So I realized that anybody out there, sometimes you got to cry out. I was reading earlier, and yesterday when I was in Houston, it was this man. He asked God, could he deliver his son from being demon possessed? And basically, Jesus was basically saying, listen, y'all, I'm just giving y'all like the little, I'm summing it up. This is not exactly what the scriptures say, but it's basically like Jesus is asking him, like, where was his belief? Where was his faith? And it said the man cried out. You feel me? And that's when Jesus was able, you know, he was able to free the demon, but it was because of his faith. So how many of us really, but we believe God, we believe in a God, but we don't really want nothing to do with God. You know, we want Jesus to be our Savior, but we don't want him to be our Lord. Meaning, we want God to save us when we're doing wrong, but when God say, don't do this, don't do that, keep my commandments, we don't want to do that because we want to do what we want to do and we want to live how we want to live. So that's why it says on that day, God going to say, I never knew you, because for some people, he might have been your Savior to get you out of trouble, but he was never Lord over your life. So, again, we have opportunity now that we're alive to get to we got to stand before him, right, Aunt Paula, one day?
Absolutely.
And when you stand before a loving father, who doesn't want to dismiss you. What do you say to him when he asks you, whatever he's going to ask you, what did you do with my son Jesus? What can you say? Nothing. We can't say, oh, I was busy. Oh, God, I was working to hurt people. I was a teacher. I was doing all these. But what did you do with Jesus Christ? And anybody listening to the millions of people that's listening, when we got to stand before God, and when you stand before God, you want him to see his son. You want him to see the blood of his son. Because guess what? I don't care how many radio shows do. I don't care how many movies I do in this life. None of that stuff is going to be able to. I don't care how much good I do in this life. None of that. I'm still a filthy rag in God's eyes. None of that stuff is going to be able to get me into heaven. It's going to be my relationship with him. So I just want to let everybody, you know that. Because like I said, I got to be held accountable to God while I had this platform. You feel me? Did I tell people about him? So I always want to, I don't want to, you know, shove it down nobody's throat, but I know that every show I do, I have to dedicate it to my Lord and Savior. So I want to say this. Being a generational curse breaker, how did you lead your kids to become generational curse breakers? Like, is it the way that you lived your life? Is it things that you taught them?
I think it's a combination of mistakes, you know, what I thought was error, and then the things that I did right, you know. So, you know, you meet people, you learn different ways. You, you know, during school, I would say that, you know, teachers would correct certain patterns that they saw that maybe I picked up at home or I picked up from somewhere else. And I always wanted to do the right thing. Like, something inside of me always wanted to do the right thing. So correction wasn't something that I dismissed. Like, I didn't mind it. I was very open to correction. So if my teacher saw me doing something that I didn't have no business, or like I said, I spent a lot of time in the library. So if, and then I had a neighbor that was a good friend of mine whose parents were both Christians and had a good reputation. And I used to stay there. So when they corrected me, it was fine because, like I said, you know, with generational curses, sometimes it's patterns, it's natural. Everything that's generational is not spiritual. Some things are just natural things that you may see your parents doing and that they may have picked up from, you know, or your whoever you watching, your nieces, your nephews, your cousins, your aunts, your uncles, your neighbors, your best friends, wherever you're picking it up from. When you pick it up and somebody corrects you, I was open to that, so it kind of helped. Do you know what I'm saying? If that makes sense.
It makes a lot of sense. All right. Track next by international internet DJ legend, brother.
I try not to write a song so sad.
Baby, we
have what you call unconditional
love.
Far more than just beautiful. It's the sun to my cloudy day. Too strong to ever fade away. At least it felt like that at the time. Never seen her be a friend of mine. I considered her my lucky charm. Couldn't got my heart away from her. No, I try not to write a song so sad. To myself just to keep my smile.
Wow.
All the pieces came falling down.
Yeah.
Saying she's still gonna stick around.
Wow.
Here I am, same place again.
Home.
With my friends, my faithful pad and pen.
Hey.
Always seem to somehow help me through.
Yeah.
I get a chance to talk to you. And just wanted to see how you do. Oh, you are on the other line. Well, I'll call you back some other time.
All right, and we have a caller, number 6. Who are you and where are you calling from?
Yes, good evening. My name is Matt. I'm calling from South Jersey.
Okay, South Jersey.
Yeah, when I tuned in tonight, first of all, like, thank you for doing the show. When I tuned in around, I want to say 9:41. I didn't hear what you were talking about, but I heard the texture of your voice alone. And I said to myself, like I said in my own mind, I said, all right, who's this person? I didn't hear this person before. There was a cleanness in your voice, like a purity, a soberness, like a humbleness as well. And it's like refreshing. It almost reminded me of, I used to tune into this musician that used to sing me, Tevin Campbell. And it was like a relief just to hear the purity and cleanness in his voice. It would make me say, like, whoo, like every time I hear it on the radio, like, thank God. So when I tuned in and I heard you, I'm like, all right, this is already kind of refreshing unto itself, because it felt like almost like a clean stream of water coming down a stream. And I'm like, all right, who's this? Let me keep listening. And then when I heard you start talking about the Bible and all, I'm like, okay, all right, I could deal with this. You're talking about Exodus and, you know, other people are chiming in. Shout out to everybody on the show too, Brother O, everybody. I heard you said you have an aunt on the line too. I think you said her name is Paula. So shout out to you, your aunt Paula. I really like what you're talking about as far as, yeah, no problem. As far as the generational curse breaker, absolutely. And generational curses, and you're talking about the Bible, like there are plenty of curses in the Bible. Like it talks about not only with a person, but with families, with generations, with entire communities and cities. Like you might come across, you know about the story of Cain and Abel. Well, Cain himself became cursed. He was a murderer. And then his son, basically, is a murderer as well. Shiesty and grimy, he's a murderer. And then you have other stories of curses as well. Like there's a story where a king actually meets a man, and you mentioned Abraham earlier, but like a king meets a man, and he's about to mess around with a woman, but the woman that he's about to mess around with has already been with a man. So he says, well, why didn't you tell me that this was your wife? Maybe I might have messed around with her, and then I would have became cursed as well. So there are different curses from situations. There are curses from a family member. There are curses generational, and their entire community. If you look at the book of Revelation, Babylon itself is cursed. It's a habitation of like evildoers and then sorcery and witchcraft. And with the energy that you give off, you'll come in contact. You're going to attract a lot of people that are on the same vibe, and it's a good thing. But then there will be those around that are cursed, that have that cursed mentality, and don't want to curse you because they'll see you attracting people to you. And it's almost like they'll want to give you the evil eye. You might come around certain people, they might say, you got an eye problem, what are you looking at? Or you might go to another area, and they'll say, get off my property, and you just stepped on a blade of their grass. So as much as you attract those good ones, you attract the bad ones. But absolutely, I'm so glad you're doing this because you're like, your voice is refreshing unto itself, and it's good to, you know, have you hear your family member on the line with you and hear great tunes by Brother O.
Wow, thank you.
Wow, thank you.
That's
wonderful, isn't it?
For that, Before we get into the next caller, and what I love about the show is that I have the freedom to talk about my Lord and also talk about my experiences because I want to help somebody. And what he just did for me, it's just like attracting light, because when I was younger, I used to hate the sound of my voice because, and I still struggle with it because my voice is a lot softer, you know, and it's not as, like, I would say masculine, or it's not as tough sounding, like manly. So I used to always hate the sound of my voice. And this is what I'm telling y'all about how the enemy works. See, the enemy knew when I opened my mouth, God would use it if I gave God my yes. But if I kept focusing on my insecurities, then I would never be all that God called me to be, because I was so focused on how my voice sounded. I hated the sound of my voice, so I would never open up my mouth. But that's how the enemy works. He wants us to you know, be so focused on our insecurity, so focused on not where I want to be, so focused on, you know, just
comparing.
Exactly. And, and you know what, Aussie, it's some stuff that we can't control. Like, I can't control that God gave me the voice that he gave me. You get what I'm saying? And I focused on stuff that I couldn't change about myself. So I think that it goes back to that serenity prayer before we get to call it number seven. Like, certain things you have to embrace. I can't change my voice for nobody. Like, no matter what I, like, you get what I'm saying? It changed a little bit when I get a cold. You get what I mean? But other than that, like, it's just what it is. So for that brother to come and say those kind things to me, this is something where you see how I was able to take that negative experience in the sixth grade. He don't even know what he did to, for me in this moment, because now I'm going to be able to take this moment for the rest of my life say, you know what? Nah, my voice does matter. Like, you know, I do need to speak up. And guess what? God, you make my voice unique and different. You know what I'm saying? And it doesn't make me less masculine or not a man because my voice is so, this just what it is. So I'm going to use it to the glory of God. So caller number seven, who are you and where are you calling from?
Yo, this is Clever One, one half of the Booze Brothers, representing from the Broad Street Bully side of Philadelphia, where your baby mom might need a helmet and a bulletproof vest on to sit on the steps with y'all here. You know what I'm saying? It's getting real critical. But good evening tonight. Yes, yes, yes. Shout out to Aunt Paula. I know that fried chicken is out of pocket. But yes, I'm in the building. I wanted to elaborate on some things out here, you know, based on these breaking these curses here. You know what I'm saying? You know, I come from, I come from where the grandfathers was old, dirty, and drunken. You know what I'm saying? They was gamblers, loan sharks, and killers, and all kinds of things like that. Well, you know, the generational curses, you got to break them. Sometimes you got to break them yourself where you do this. You know, I might have had to, you know, DDT a couple gremlins on the fire hydrant. You know what I'm saying? I smacked a few security guards, you know. You know, it's whatever. You know what I mean? Been in some real close-range shootouts. Clev One was like the good, the bad, and the ugly out there. You hear me? You know, DDT'd a few cop officers. You know what I'm saying? Good Lord that you know, I could have got my head blown off. But that didn't happen because I was out here to do something else. You know what I'm saying? But I made sure that I had my kids don't have to do none of these things. You know what I mean? Where I try to keep them busy. Trying to keep, you know, in tune with their talents, in tune with their abilities, you know what I'm saying, to let them know that, you know, they can be whoever they want to be. They have choices to do these things, you know what I'm saying, where they don't have time to kind of get bored and fall into the 300 hole, you know, I like to call it that. You know, you get kicked down there, ain't no coming back from down that thing. You'll be falling for 10 years. But what I'm saying is, that's why we try to break them. So I'm not going to hold you long. And shout out to Uncle Hooney and, you know, everyone that chimed in so far, you know, speaking upon, you know, some of these things. Oh, people, please, you know what I mean? Read these books from the front, then to the back. You know what I'm saying? Read the Torah. You know what I'm saying? That way you find your rules. You find all the things in which you should be doing and not doing. You know what I'm saying? And furthermore, you'll find all the truths in which you search. I'm Clever One, one half of the Booze Brothers, representing from the Broad Street Bully side of Philadelphia, where your grandmoms used to give you a little sip of Colt 45 to put you to sleep when you wouldn't lay your ass down. Check your satellites.
All right, track next by international internet DJ legend, brother. Oh.
Thank you.
All right, we are back. We have a caller. Caller number 8, who are you and where are you calling from?
Well, all right, caller number 8, you're there.
Hey, good evening. How are you?
Hello, how you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. I'm Frederick Beatty, and I'm calling from Atlanta, Georgia. Been listening to your show, man, and I'm loving it. I'm really loving it.
Thank you. I actually went to the A recently. Well, I would say last year, around April. So Atlanta's nice. So.
Yeah, that's what's up, man. I'm really loving the topic and loving your guest, man. You guys are having a great conversation. I really love it, man.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Right.
Y'all are very, very welcome. Oh, and just because Brother O wanted me to do this, I'll do this. So I'm the newest intern of the One Syndicated Station Host Intern Show. I'm Frederick Beatty, so my show is going to be premiering on the February 17th. So I wanted to let everybody know that, and also that I'll be supporting you, and also everybody here, so everybody on the network. So if I'm happy to be here and looking forward to some great things.
Yeah, definitely, and I look forward to listening to your show. And congratulations. So hopefully you won't be no longer intern and you'll be a part of the family. So congratulations.
That's the plan, my brother. That's the plan.
Great.
All right, we got one more caller. Caller 9, who are you and where are you calling from?
Hello, Ricardo Rashad. How are you today? This is Tiana Speaks.
Hello, how you doing? I think I know this voice.
Yes, you do. So here's the funny thing, right? The funny thing is God does work in, like, amazing ways. The person who talked to you, Matthew, that's actually my friend. I introduced him to the network, you know, and he called in and supports different shows, and he gave you a message. You know, Matthew is an absolutely wonderful, great friend of mine who's always positive and just, like, one of the most, like, wonderful human beings I've ever come across. So for him to be able to give you a message, it really, like, touches my heart. You know what I mean? And it's funny you mentioned about the voice thing, because there's times that I feel like I sound like a little girl, and other times I don't. And I'm like, you know, like, but I kind of, at the end of the day, though, I want to say something to you. Your voice, no matter what it sounds, low or high, is very powerful. As I was listening, I kid you not, I was thinking the same thing. When I first heard you talk, I felt the same way as Matthew. I'm like, wow, there's like an innocence to his voice. There's like a humbleness. There's just something about this person that is so, like, you know, mellow, that can relax your soul. Like, even though I never met you, it feels like you are somebody who can be trusted, you know. So, like, don't worry what other people think. You know, and I had to tell somebody this myself, you know, because somebody told me this, so I'm going to pass it on to you. When God speaks to you, not everybody hears it. So if people are going to tell you to do this, if they're going to say things to you, how you should do certain things, how you should say certain things. But at the end of the day, you serve God. It's not about what anybody else says, you know, whether it's monetary, whether it's not, whether it's a friend, whether it's a family or whatever. Oh, and hello, Paula. I'm so sorry for not saying hello. You know.
That's so
funny. So. So, you know, I know that you have to be wonderful because of this. If he's so wonderful, I know you have to be wonderful as well. You know, but as far as generational curses is concerned, you know, I come from a big family, you know, and I actually separated myself because my family's not bad or anything like that. But there's things that I don't like. I don't like how we operate. I don't like that there's not unity, you know, and I noticed this because what you grow up and what you're used to is like your reality is until you see other things. I'll never forget, I had a friend from high school who invited me on her family, I guess, week or whatever it was. And she had family now, and this is in Jersey. Her family, I think, came from Georgia and like all different places of the U.S. And, but most of them came from, I'm sorry, not Georgia, Atlanta. I don't know. Atlanta, you know, and, I think it's like parts of Atlanta or so. But I don't know any other parts of Georgia that they came from. But the fact is, they came to Jersey, you know, from, you know, from this distance to be with their family together. They went to church. They went to the beach. They had a day. Each day they did something. They went to the beach. They went to, you know, like to church. They went to eat. And I'm like, looking at my family sideways, like, these people came from Atlanta. You know what I mean? Like, Atlanta is not close. You know what I mean? I don't know if they live in any other parts of Georgia, but regardless, Atlanta is far. You know what I mean? So I'm like, they come to be together. My family is in close proximity to each other. You know, I have family, you know, in different states and things like that, but the majority of us are all in the same area within at least an hour of each other. But we see each other when somebody dies or somebody's sick. Yeah. Like, why does it have to be like this? You know what I mean? Yeah. So for me, you know, another thing is when things happen, and I'm not ashamed to say it in my family, a lot of people want to talk about what happened. But what are you doing to help that person? Like, instead of just talking, it's not that my family won't help, but why are you – say it again.
No, I said I love that. I love that, like what you're saying. I love that.
Very true.
Right. Like, why are you – like, I feel like why are you running your mouth with something? And it's not even of like a you know, out of hate or anything like that. It's just because, you know, a lot of my family members are older. And I know, like, even in where I live, a lot of high-rises have older people. That's what they do. You know, they sit around and talk. I don't know if that's everywhere else. I just know where I'm from. You know, that's what happens. So it's like, why, if you have the time to run your mouth and say anything about anything going on with somebody who shares your same blood, why are you not coming up with a solution? You know what I mean? Like, why are you not coming with a solution? If this person, I'm just throwing things out there, not saying this happened in my family, but somebody's losing their house, why talk about it? Why are we not all coming together to help that person? If this person got sick, why are we not all at the hospital at the same time? And we're talking about, oh, did you hear this and this person got sick? Okay, well, did you go see them? Why are you talking about it? That's how I feel as a person. So I learned to not be like that, you know, for my family, you know, and I know a lot of it comes from me, my grandmother, you know, like I had a huge, she had lots of kids, so I have lots of aunts and uncles, you know, so it's like, you know, I realized the times and things and how my grandmom and my grandfather, you know, whatever the times were back then, maybe they didn't instill that in them to be a close unit family. I know when I have my family, they are going to be close. No matter if they fight, no matter whatever, you're going to have each other's back, you know what I mean? Because even my friends, I realize blood doesn't always have to be your family. It could be your friend.
That's right.
Let me tell you something. Yes, I have some amazing – I look – it's funny because when I look at the amazing quality in my closest friends, I'm like, man, I have another friend that has the same quality. I am so blessed to have the people in my life that I have.
Wow.
I have a cousin who is like my sister, and, you know, we haven't talked in, like, months and months and months. That's a long story. We didn't have a falling out, but you know, I have issues with noise, you know, that hurts my ears. Every time I would talk to her, she would make too much noise on the phone, and it would give me headaches. So I cut the conversation off. If you can't respect that I'm telling you this, you know, so, but I realized, you know, at the end of the day, like, I have a friend who is, like, literally puts the phone on mute, and I'm like, hello? She's like, girl, I'm cooking. I'm making noise. I don't want you fighting me today, like, joking around. And I'm laughing, but at the same time, I'm like, wow, she really respects the fact that I have an issue. I have something called hyperacusis where, like, certain sounds really feel like a knife going in my ear. I can't help it. There's nothing I can do about it, you know. So the people that care will show that, you know what I mean? Like, I have a close family member who does the same thing, and I stop talking to them, too. I will cut you off in a second. I have no problem. I don't care if we know each other 20 years, you know. So you keep doing what you do. And I'm proud that you are definitely having this subject, you know. But I got a question for you.
Sure.
Ricardo, I have a question. You love Jesus?
Absolutely.
You sure?
Yeah, for sure.
How did you obtain this love that you have for him, for everybody listening that is trying to get to where you're at, volumes about the Lord and puts him first in everything, because I can feel it in your heart and your soul. Tell everybody how you got to that point.
I want to say that God, Jesus, I'm so glad you asked me that. He introduced himself to me at a very young age, I think about 8 or 9 years old. But because I didn't grow up in church. And I feel like it's so beautiful for a God where it's over 7-8 billion of people on this earth, for him to be intentional about wanting to get to know me, you know, not only dying for me, but to make his way to just get to know little old me. See, the issue with me is, and I think from the way I used to think, and most people feel like God owes them, when in actuality we owe God. And for me, it's no greater love than somebody giving their life to you, giving their life for you, knowing that it's going to be people that actually reject you. So for him to be on that cross and dying, and people, and for him to say, God, forgive them, it's like a love that's like so indescribable. Like, I'm like, God, help me to love like that. Because it's just like, I don't know if I'm ever going to attain that type of love. You get what I mean? Because when people hurt you, it's natural to be upset, or it's natural to, you know, fight back. But he was literally dying, gasping for air. And he's like, God, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing. The same people that he blessed, same people that he healed. You get what I mean? And he know that they were going to do what he did. And he still died for them, still died for us, still died for kids that's coming after us. You feel what I'm saying? So it's just like, for me, I'm so passionate about it, because when I was at my lowest of lows, even when God was calling, he was reaching out to me, and I still wanted to turn up. I still wanted to, you know what I mean, party. I still wanted to be in and out of bed. You feel me? And I still was like, God, now I'm young. I would have fun. But what I didn't know then was that I was being deceived by the enemy. Like, I didn't believe that God loved me because of the things that I went through in my life. I was believing the enemy, and the devil is a liar from the pits of hell. And God is a truth teller. He cannot lie. And for me, I remember when the pandemic happened, it was a sign for me that's like, God stopped the whole wide world to let us see what was important in this life. And if in these last 3 years, if we don't see how God could just – how God loves us, if we don't see that, it's a problem, because it's like everything that we thought was important, he stopped every – I don't care if you was Beyonce. I don't care if you down to the janitor. The whole world stopped. The whole world – who could do that but God? Whether he did it or he allowed the enemy to do it, you feel me? He let the world stop so we could see what was important. Millions of people died in the pandemic, and me and you are still here.
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
Grateful.
Yes.
We have a lot to be grateful for. So I've lost so many people, and I know as I get older, I'm going to lose more people. But when it comes down to God, I get so psyched up because he's my best friend. And as him being my best friend, I fail every day. And sometimes I'm hard on myself because I think that I'm supposed to do everything right. But I know I'm not going to always do everything right. But his grace is sufficient. But I don't play with God. And just because I know that I'm not perfect, that doesn't mean it gives me a license to go out there and just be sleeping around or just sinning because God is going to forgive me. Because I used to do that too. Like, oh, well, God is a good God. He's a forgiving God. But God ain't going to play with you. And God going to look at that heart. So people say,
if you know,
oh, God
better,
knows my heart.
He still does.
Is he really do know your heart. So he know when you out there playing with him. You can play with these people out in the street, but you can't play with God. So it's just like when I realized just how much he loved me, and I was believing in the enemy, the lies of the enemy, I'm just like, yo, this man never left me. I used to be in – I remember one time I was in a club, and I got sober, and it was crazy. And I'm like – I remember getting in the car, like, and I fell asleep until my boys and them came out, and I was just like, it was like he was showing up, like, what is you doing here, Richard? You know you better than that, but I was hurting so bad. You get what I'm saying? And then it's like, I always say as a black man, it's like, we taught, like, not to have emotions, not to have feelings. So I didn't know how to say, even in my 20s, I was hurting. So I was running away from God when his arms is wide open, like, I literally – like, my show is dedicated to my best friend who died. Like, he went to sleep and never woke up. So it's just like I have situations that in my life, like, and the people know that been following me for 2 years, my brother being shot at 20-something times. Like, people literally that meant, not everything. God means everything to me. People meant a lot to me. Died. And I had to go to God because – What the enemy wanted me to do was when my brother got shot at over 20-something times, the enemy wanted me to turn my back on God. But what I wasn't about to do was I wasn't about to turn my back on God, because when I was at my lowest, he was there to lift me up, so I would never play with him like that. I shouldn't even have my right mind right now. After losing my brother to be murdered, after losing my grandmother, my best friend, after losing my stepmom a couple of months ago to cancer and my grandfather to cancer, cousins OD'ing, cousins murdered, all of that, and I'm still here. My mom is hurting every day because her brother's in the hospital fighting. Like, the stuff that I have to endure, where I have to literally be the backbone to my family. I'm the go-to person in my family. You feel me? So it's like, for me, I got to walk this thing out, because I want my mother to be saved. I want my father to be saved. Even though it's times where I talk to my Paula, I'm like, dang, my mom ain't raised me, I'm hurt. But God told me to love my mother, even when she wasn't there for me, to love her. And you know how hard that sometimes it is, but I go to God because I know it's a bigger picture.
Yes, because
it's about his love. You feel me? Even when I don't want to deal with certain people, I'm like, all right, God, I'm going to give them limited access to me. But because you're telling me you need me to be in this people's life, because they need to see the light. But it's not about me, but it's about him. So I get excited when I talk about Jesus, because I want everybody to know that he's in it. When I felt this Holy Spirit at 17 years old, I knew that there was no weed, no alcohol ever made me feel the way that God did, even though after that I wound up getting drunk. Even after that I wound up getting high. Even after that I did that stuff. But it took some time. Like, God was so patient with me when I wasn't patient with him. God was so telling me to stay away from certain people, and I would run to the people that left me broken. And anybody listening, never go back to the place that broke you. If God removed you from certain people in your life, don't go back to the place that almost killed you. You feel me? Don't go back to that person that almost broke you, because, again, the people that broke you, they cannot heal you.
That's right.
You got to go to God about that. So I'm very intentional when it comes down to God, and I have to. It's my responsibility as somebody who could have lost his life 4 or 5 times being out here. I have to tell people. But let me say this last thing, because I know it's getting late, and I know, brother, it's almost time. When I prayed and I begged God, right, when I got my new place, I moved into my new place, I was depressed. And my relationship, all that stuff wasn't working out. I remember praying to God, and I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed. And let me tell you, nothing happened. And I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed, and nothing happened. And I kept praying, and nothing wasn't happening. But what I didn't realize was that God was moving in the spirit. I wanted God to move like a microwave, and not realizing that it takes, you know what I mean? It takes, when you put food in the oven, it takes time. But I wanted to be quick. You feel me? So it's just like when I realized over in time, God showed me I was always doing stuff. I was always working for your good, but you just couldn't see it because I was so caught up in my trauma and my own way of thinking. But the word says that his ways are not our ways and his thoughts are not his thoughts. So I want to tell anybody out there, keep praying, even when you don't see it. Because I didn't see it. I was like, man, what's the point? God, like, what's up? Like, but I kept praying. I kept praying. I kept praying. And then guess what? Destruction still came. Still lost my brother even after I prayed that he would get saved. You feel me? But when I still pray for my grandma, even though she still died, but what I realized is still pray for my stepmom, even though she died of cancer. And I'm like, God, you breaking me. But what I realized is that sometimes when we pray for healing, sometimes healing happens on the other side of eternity. Mm-hmm. Sometimes healing doesn't happen on this side. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I want people to be reminded that at the end of the day, just because God didn't do it the way you wanted him to do it doesn't mean that it ain't going to get done. Because I still have hope.
His will is perfect.
I still have hope.
His way is perfect. However that looks, it's perfect.
Absolutely. And I still have hope as my stepmom, you know, that she gave her life to God. Like, and I'm going to talk about that, you know, probably on the next show, but I want to tell people about my experience with my stepmom the last couple of weeks of her life and how God was just able to do what he did and his grace even at the last minute. It was a beautiful moment that I was able to share with her even after the people wanted us to pull a plug on her. She actually woke up out of the coma. But I will talk about that situation next time because it's a lot to talk about, you know what I'm saying? But I thank you so much. You feel me, for asking me that question, because it was times where I was ashamed of God. You know, it wasn't cool enough to talk about God, so it was just like, it's cool to be talking about this girl you smashing, how you getting high, how you getting drunk, all of that. But it's just like, I stand on the word of God. You feel me? I stand on it because it's just like, I would be nothing without him, and I am nothing without him. So, thank you.
Amen.
Thank you so much. Whew. Thank you, thank you, thank you. All right. So, I'm Harlan. Do you have any final thoughts? Do you want to tell people anything before we have our Ngozi time? Do you want to say anything? You want to tell people any, just a little word or just anything?
I want everyone to know that God has a plan, a divine plan for your life, and he is watching his word be perfected. He's watching his word being perfected in our lives. So don't be discouraged. We're never left forsaken. He won't leave us and he won't forsake us. He just won't do it. He's with you even when you don't feel him, when you don't hear him. There are always two entities working, an evil one and a good one, a great one, a holy one, and that's God. And God is always with us wherever we make our bed, whatever decisions, and the throne of grace is full of grace and mercy. You can go to God's throne. There's no condemnation there. You can go to God. He wants you to cast your cares on him. He wants you to do it. Bring all of your cares to God.
I love it. I love it. I love it. All right, you guys, it's a cozy time, everyone. Here's your mother and father's favorite producer.
God has a funny way of showing you lessons.
Remix. Featuring Kevin Ross. Raheem Devon. Anthony Hamilton.
God has a funny way of showing what is meant to be. Had to learn everything I was meant to see wasn't meant for me. I guess I had to fall many times.
Fall in love.
Guess all them bruises made me strong enough. Blessing in front of me. Thank God he opened up my eyes. Now I'm realizing.
Everyone that let me down led me to you.
Oh baby, all the sleepless nights,
all the heartbreak I had led me to you.
If I never went through it, I'd have never found a love like that. Growing up in time, it's a blessing. And I waited one more day running round. I wanna miss it. I truly know the heart of the woman that you are truly shines through you, God. I used to dread the love I lost. It was barely just a blemish.
Oh, oh, oh.
Now that life led me to you, God intended this. Now I realize.
Everyone that let me down led me to you.
Oh baby, all the sleepless nights. And if I never went through it, I would never find love like you.
Like a rolling stone, temptation song. Running a fast lane, never look back. It's always moving on.
I kept it moving on.
Bad choice only made for the turn with checklist. Every wrong turn showed me there's a clear direction. I had to let it go and let God do. If it was up to me, I would have never knew. This magic, best thing happened to me. Life fast, but with you in my past. And you see, don't lost this, we just live and learn. And though I can't say every love affair has perfect.
Beautiful music tonight, Brother O. Thank you so much. And that is another person that I have never heard of before. And I love his music. And I've never heard of him. Eric Robertson. Awesome, awesome. I loved every song he played tonight. And the show tonight, wow, it was absolutely awesome. Part two of, you know, breaking generational curses. And I definitely enjoyed it last month with your guest, Ricardo Paula Jones. I really enjoyed it. Enjoyed it tonight as well. And the callers and the comments. And wow, and your testimony tonight, Ricardo, it was so very touching. And God bless you, young man, for your perseverance to continue to serve God and to just do all you do, and your strength that God has instilled within you, going through all that you've gone through. And I know that is hard mentally, emotionally, and everything, but yet here you are. And I just want to commend you for your walk with God and how you expressed tonight and shared and gave your testimony. And God has so much in store for you, young man. Just keep on serving him and keep the faith, because he is awesome. And I will definitely be praying for you, your family, your mother, and her brother. And wow, I'm just in awe tonight of your testimony. I really am. And the show tonight was amazing. For the first time in ONE Dynasty history, we celebrate 11 linear consecutive all-time connection records as we congratulate Ricardo Richard on his 11th all-time connection record with the historic Darlene Lawrence Championship, honoring our late Hall of Famer, Ms. Darlene Lawrence. And that is amazing because tonight we celebrate 11 linear consecutive all-time connection records with, that means consecutive nights, 11 consecutive nights of record-breaking shows. And tonight is your 11th all-time connection record, Ricardo. So this is a very, very awesome night. WBNN has advertising through Ngozi Time Multimedia. We're on Pinterest, Instagram, and Twitter at Ngozi underscore time. And Oladele Malewe Ngozi at Facebook. Any comments and suggestions for our wonderful programming tonight, oladele.ngozi@my.com. For our mother's and father's favorite producer, Oladele Malewe Ngozi, I am WBNN Commissioner Dr. Chinchilla J, saying good night and good luck to all the folks out there in Armed Forces Radio that support us on a constant basis. Stay tuned tomorrow night for the ONE syndicated station host intern show featuring Sham God Power Hill. That's tomorrow night at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Or you can tune in at www.blogtalkradio.com. Now, Sham God had his first intern show last month, and we're going to hear from him tomorrow. So please make sure you tune into that intern show. And don't forget on Sunday night, News Forum, every Sunday night at 9:30 p.m. with yours truly, Dr. Chinchilla J. Now back to Ricardo Richard and Trenton Makes.
All right, you guys, I'm so grateful. You know, we're coming down to the end. I definitely wanted to shout out the great Eric Robertson, and the music was awesome. I wanted to thank my Aunt Paula for coming on the show and just thank you, her, for being a light in my life. And I'm just so grateful to know her. And I'm really grateful that she was able to come on the show and we was able to just, you know, break records tonight. So I'm just really grateful that you know, was on the show. I just wanted to say before ending the show or whatever, like, anybody that's out there, never give up on your dream, you know. Just because it's not happening in the time that you want it to happen, doesn't matter if it takes you 40 years. You get what I mean? Like, keep going, keep growing, and stay submitted to God. And, you guys, again, my series, Hurt People, Bitter and Broken, please check it out on YouTube. Check me out, Ricardo Richard, on Facebook and Instagram, RICARDO, RICHARD. Again, I'm just a young boy that just grew up from the city of Trenton that just want to be used by God. I love you guys. Until next time, February, stay tuned and be blessed. Good night, everybody.
Good night.